Well, good morning. It's great to see you guys. So take a deep, all right, awesome. All right, take a deep breath in, all the way in, let it go all the way out. Okay, you're in church. That's where you are. You're in church. I'm about to preach about God's goodness and especially about prayer. So get ready. Here it comes. We're talking about essentials, and an essential is something that is absolutely necessary, extremely important. Here's the idea. In your faith, there are things that are essential. You have to have them. And without them, you're not going to be growing, progressing, moving forward as God would have you grow in Him. Week one, we talked about the first essential is unconditional surrender. Just think about that for a second. The idea that I've fully, completely surrendered all of myself to God. How about an amen for unconditional surrender out there? Last week we talked about authentic accountability, being accountable to God's word and God's people, and truly placing yourself under, being accountable. And here's this week. Here's the idea for this week. This is essential in your life. Effective prayer. Effective prayer is absolutely essential for your growth and your life in God. Now maybe you're wondering and you're thinking, whoa, Pastor Tom, why'd you say effective prayer? Why didn't you just say prayer? Why not just prayer? Why do you have to add that word effective on there? Here's why I said effective prayer. Because truly, everyone prays. Everyone prays. You guys know that Hindus pray and Muslims pray and even Congress prays. Everyone prays. You know, even actually atheists pray. 6% of atheists pray every single day. I don't want you to pray like a Hindu or a Muslim or an atheist or certainly not a congressperson. I want you to have effective prayer. Now, here's what Billy Graham says about prayer. Listen to what he says. Prayer is powerful. Somebody say amen. Prayer is powerful. But, Billy Graham says, if our prayers are aimless, meaningless, and mingled with doubt, they'll be of little help to us. Now, stop and think about that. Now, I would say to you, and you probably would agree, all prayer is good. I'm saying that all prayer is good. But some prayer is more effective than other kinds of prayers. Here, think about this for a second. There's a thing I call checklist prayer. Here's what it looks like. You know it's good to pray, and maybe when you leave today, you'll think, I should pray more. And so you might devise for yourself a little checklist, and the checklist says, okay, I got to pray every day. So you come down your checklist, take out the garbage, do the dishes. Okay, pray. Father, I pray for today. Amen. Check. Right, let me just say. Who knows what I'm talking about, checklist prayer. You know what I'm talking about, right? The checklist prayer isn't really very effective. You're just doing it to do it. Or how about this one, what I call mindless prayer. You're just kind of praying. You're not even thinking about the words that you're saying. You're just kind of praying. I was praying one time with this young man, and we were praying together, and he was just kind of mindlessly praying, and he said this. He said, God, I pray by your magical power that you would. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. He's like, did I just say that? I'm like, yeah, you just said that, right? It was mindless. Wasn't really thinking about the words. It wasn't his heart and mind engaged with the Spirit of God. It was kind of mindless. Or how about this? Routine prayer. You just pray the same exact thing without thinking about it, without focusing on it. You're praying the same mindless prayer. When I was in high school, I played high school football, and I actually, as a senior, was given the privilege of leading my team in the Lord's Prayer before every game. Here's how it would go. Our coach would give us a pregame speech with some cuss words and some inappropriate things he would say. And when he got done with, you know, yelling at us and getting us all fired up, he'd say, all right, Tommy, lead him in prayer. Always called me Tommy, not sure why. And I would just go real loud, be like, our Father. And a whole team would join in to this prayer. And then we would go lose a football game and come back and everybody's mad and upset. And most of the time, 90% of the time. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying. That prayer wasn't effective. It was just kind of part of the routine. It was happening. I don't want you to pray like that. I don't want you to pray a checklist prayer, a mindless prayer, a routine prayer. I want you to have effective prayer. Now, take that term, effective prayer, from this verse, James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous person, say it with me, is and it's powerful and effective. Here's what I'm saying. All prayer is good. It's good to pray. A checklist prayer is better than no prayer. But I want you to have effective prayer, powerful and effective prayer. Here's what I'm saying. Through effective prayer, the Holy Spirit changes things. Here's what makes effective prayer effective. It affects things in this world. It's not just words going up to God that never come back down. Effective prayer is the Holy Spirit changes things around us. Are you getting a little excited? I'm going to say something right now, and listen, I think you might just take note of what I'm about to say. I think it is very possible what I'm about to preach to you might be the most important sermon I have preached so far in 2016. I think it might be the most important sermon you've heard this entire year. I think this sermon could truly change not just your prayer life, but truly change your life if you took these principles I'm about to give you and you put them into place. That's how serious I am about this sermon. I'm going to say this as well. I'm not going to say one thing to you today that I have not personally put into practice in my life and seen as effective. I'm not talking about things I don't know about. Now, here's my problem. I'm an intense, fast-talking person. And I will probably intensely, fastly talk about this topic today. So you got to listen fast, okay? Stay with me. This is a very, very critically important topic, effective prayer. Here's the idea. Here's the question you might have. How does effective prayer affect us? I'm going to give you three ways that effective prayer affects us. And here's number one. Through effective prayer, just see what I'm saying. Through effective prayer, God changes our emotions. You can write that down. Now, just think about what I'm saying. Through effective prayer, we have emotions that really are not the emotions we want to have or God wants us to have, and we pray, and we go to prayer, and God affects us and changes those emotions. Let me just give you some scriptural background on what I'm saying. Do not be anxious about anything. Stay with me. This is Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, Paul says, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here's what Paul says. The moment you detect anxiety in your life, you are to go to prayer. And what happens? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Think about what he's saying. I go to prayer. I go to a point. I'm feeling anxious. I'm upset. How many guys here intimately know what anxiety is? Raise your hand. We intimately know what it is. I know what it is to feel anxious. It's not an unusual thing. I feel anxious. I'm nervous. And I go to prayer, and the peace of God changes things. In 1999, I was in seminary, at Ashland Seminary. I was taking a class. And in this class, we were assigned to take a scripture passage and write an entire paper on that one passage, an 18 to 20-page paper on that passage. I wrote an 18-page paper on Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Just these verses. By the way, in my Bible, Philippians is 4 pages long. I have one book on Philippians that was over 500 pages on those 4 pages. It went in depth. Here's what I wanted to know. Do these verses really actually say what they seem to say? That when I'm anxious, I go to God and I exchange my anxiousness for the peace of God. And here's what I said in 18 pages, which I typed very fastly. It's fast talking on the paper. 18 pages, I learned that this verse is absolutely what it says. You go to God with your anxiety, you go to God with your fear, you go to God with uncertainty, and you walk away from that prayer with peace. Right about that same time in my life, I wrote that paper, it was finished, and I was actually invited to go to Denison to speak to their campus crusade. I was excited about that. I'd been there the year before to speak to them, and I was a young pastor, and they invited me to come preach. And the year before, I had been there at the end of the year. It was about 20 college students that were there, and I spoke, and it was fine. And they said, Tom, would you come back at the beginning of the year, next year? This is probably 1999, year 2000. And I said, great. So I went to Denison to go speak, but here's the problem. I was thinking 20 students, and I'm just going to confess this to you. I didn't actually prepare anything. I just thought through the day, well, I'll get to it later. I'll get that message ready. I'll get to it. I never prepared anything. And I walked in that room to speak to college students. I thought, man, I just hope God gives me a message and we'll see what happens. And that doesn't happen anymore. It was old Tom. But I walked in to the auditorium where they were, and it was packed full of college students. Over 100 college students, maybe 120 college students in that room. And I saw all of them. And they're looking at me like, oh, this is going to be great. You're going to say something amazing. And my heart began to beat so fast. I was absolutely terrified. I could see myself getting up in front of them and be like, Tom, Pat. You know, I had nothing to say, nothing prepared. I was scared to death. I had prayer with the leadership. They called me over. Let's pray. We all held hands. And the whole time, my heart's beating so fast. I was absolutely anxious. And I sat down in the front row. They're going to do 3 songs, and then I was going to speak. And they started singing that first song. And I sat there. I'm like, God, I have nothing to say. And I thought back to this verse, Philippians 4. I've written an 18-page paper on these verses, and I knew What the verses were saying was true, but I didn't have that experience in my own life. I did this thing. I don't know why I did it. I opened my Bible up, and I put my hand on the Bible as if to extract information. I don't know why I was doing that, but I put my hand on the Bible like that. And they're all singing this first worship song, and I just bowed my head, and I began praying, and two things happened exactly at the same time. Number one, the first thing that happened was the peace of God filled my heart, and all my anxiety was gone. It was amazing. And second of all, God gave me a one-verse message in about 10 seconds, and I had the whole thing downloaded from God, and I was like, awesome! And I got up and started preaching, and the words were right there, and I was praising God. I didn't take that as a future model for success. I didn't walk up this morning to the video announcements and open the Bible and, okay, God, give me one for today. I didn't do that going forward. But you know what? In that moment, God took my anxiety and he transformed it into his peace. Who here in this room, raise your hand, you've had that happen. Raise your hand. You guys didn't prepare messages? No, I'm just kidding. You had that experience, right, of knowing God's peace, of walking in and having your emotions change. The Bible also talks about despair to hope. Who's had that happen in prayer? Raise your hand. How about this one? You've had sadness to joy, the Holy Spirit at work as you're going to pray, as you're coming before him. This is a really important thing. Number one, effective prayer changes our emotions. Imagine that in your life. What if you had this in your back pocket, effective prayer? I can go at any time to God. It's not always fast or quick or easy, but as I wrestle with God in prayer, my anxiety is lifted and the peace of God comes in. What does God do? Number one, effective prayer changes our emotions. Here's number two. How does effective prayer affect us? Number two, through effective prayer, God gives us information and provides guidance. Write that down. What an important thing. Through effective prayer, we need to know what to do, how to live my life. Who in this room, raise your hand, you've ever struggled to know how to make a decision and what to do next in your life? Just raise your hand. All of us, right? We all need guidance. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to look for a job. I don't know where to find that person I'm going to marry. I don't know. God, guide me. Through effective prayer, we get information and guidance from God. We rely on this. Here's the verse I want to show you is in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, who here lacks wisdom? Just raise your hand. You lack wisdom. Who has perfect wisdom, by the way? You're perfectly wise in every way. Okay, right? If you lack wisdom, you should ask God. That's prayer. Ask God. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Think about that. Wow, I can go to God and ask for wisdom, and God provides me with the wisdom that I need. Who's seen this happen in your life? Raise your hand. You needed wisdom, you needed guidance, and God came in. You prayed, and in your effective prayer, God spoke to you. I remember one story from my childhood. My father was looking for a job. He had three offers from three churches to be three different churches' pastors. And he went before God, and he began praying one night, and he said, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm not going to get off my knees until God gives me an answer. He said, I need to hear from God. I need information and guidance. You know, the reality is on this that the Bible gives us incredible guidance. But we can't find the answer to every question in the Bible. The Bible guides us and shows us, and on many issues, tells us exactly how to live. But there are things not in the Bible. There are things we need God to directly give us guidance on, and sometimes we make a mistake. Here's an example. This is Bishop Milton Wright. He was Church of the United Brethren of Christ, and in his day, in the late 1800s, an issue came about. Would people ever fly? Would there ever be manned flight? Could we ever take off from the earth and begin to fly? He couldn't find the answer in the Bible, and he didn't pray and ask God for guidance because he said this from the pulpit. Here's what he said. In 1893, he pronounced from his pulpit that manned air flight was both impossible and contrary to the will of God. He said this, only angels are intended to fly, never people. How many guys have flown an airplane? Contrary to God's will, sorry. So he said, no, it's not only is impossible, it's contrary to God's will. Unfortunately for Bishop Milton, his own two sons, Orville and Wilbur, proved him wrong. Exactly 10 years later, his own two sons. Now, when Milton was about 80 years old, Wilbur took him up in the airplane. I think it was Wilbur. And he's quoted as saying to his son Wilbur, higher, higher. Wanted to go a little higher, right? Just think, you know, we don't have the answers. And we can't proclaim God's will. We can't just say it out of our own thoughts. We need effective prayer. Amen? To go to God and get guidance.
Don't be like Bishop Milton. Go to God for guidance in what you're doing. Here's number three. That's exciting. How does effective prayer affect us? Come on, get excited out there. What if my prayer could truly change my emotions from anxiety to God's peace? What if I could truly go to God? Might take time, might take hours, but I could go to God in prayer and receive guidance and receive information about how God wants me to live and the next steps in my life. Let me just tell you right now, both of those things are God's will. That you would walk with his peace, amen? That you would live with his will in mind, his guidance in your life. But how about this one? How does effective prayer affect us? Here we go. Through effective prayer, we partner with God. Now, if you're going to write this down, let me just tell you, there's a slight error on the note sheet, so you're going to have to make some amends on your own, but you're fully formed adults. You can make this happen on your own. Don't worry. Pastor Tom, you cheated us. No, it's okay. Stay with me. I did proofread this before it came out. Sorry about that. Through effective prayer, we partner with God, and by his power, say power, by his power, miracles happen. Think about this. Through effective prayer, we come to a situation and it's impossible. We see something impossible and we go into prayer and we partner with God, and not by our power, not by our might, or not by ourselves, by his power, miracles happen. It says this in Psalm 77, 14. You are the God, when I stop, you guys jump in. You are the God who performs, you display your power among the people. Do you believe that? Do you believe that miracles still happen today, that miracles are going on? You should believe that. You know, miracles happen in this very building. I'm going to show you a picture of my friend. This is my friend Tim Wallenberg. Tim came to me 3 years ago and told me an amazing miracle that happened right here. And a year after the miracle, I updated the church and I asked him how that miracle was going. And then yesterday, I updated again. I got an update from Tim again on this miracle. So listen to Tim talk about this miracle that happened in his life. Here we go.
Hi, my name's Tim Wallenberg, and my wife Heather and I have been attending Spring Hills with our three sons, Mitch, Travis, and Garrett, for about 17 years. When I was in high school, which was several years ago, I had an accident playing football and separated my shoulder, and I have been carrying some serious pain with that accident for probably the last 5 years. And I got to the point where I couldn't sleep at night. The pain would wake me up every time I tried to turn in bed. And I couldn't throw a baseball with my son. So I felt that this injury was starting to really hamper my personal life. And a few weeks ago, I was sitting in church and listening to Tom Pound's sermon. And after the sermon was over, I just felt this urge to go and have somebody pray on my shoulder. And so I walked back to the prayer room and met an individual back there who prayed with me and prayed over my shoulder. And as soon as I stood up, the pain was gone. And I had spent weeks wearing Bengay all over my shoulder. I smelled like a nursing home when I would come to church. So the pain was really bad. But when I stood up, I felt no pain, and I turned to him and I told him and gave him a thumbs up and said, it's gone. And so we both praised God for that, and I went home that day and was able to spackle my ceiling in our house that we're remodeling for 4 hours, and then a few days after that, I was able to paint that room twice, that ceiling twice with the same arm with no pain. And believe it or not, a couple days ago, I was able to throw a baseball with my son. So it was a great feeling. And I just wanted to praise God. Hi, it's me again. And it's been about a year since we last talked. And I just wanted to update you that I still have no pain in my shoulder from the prayers that the healing prayer team gave over me. And I'm just so blessed that God is faithful and still working on me, and he will work on you too. All you need to do is go back and see the healing prayer team and know that God wants to heal everything in your life, even the little things. So don't be embarrassed to go back and ask for help and for prayers.
Hey, how about a hand for Tim and that testimony and just that miracle right there? Now, I talked to Tim yesterday. I said, Tim, it's been three years, a little more than 3 years since he got prayer. How's your shoulder? He sent back a text. He said, it's 100%. It is just awesome. How about a hand for God? Just an awesome thing to see happen.
So here's what I'm saying. Just stay with me. See, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying there is effective prayer, and there's prayer that's good but not very effective, a checklist prayer, a mindless prayer, a routine prayer. There's effective prayer where you engage your heart and your mind with God and what he's doing, and it changes your emotions, and it gives you guidance and information. And last of all, it works miracles, literal miracles that you see. And I know you've got this question, Pastor Tom, how does my prayer become effective? Move from checklist, routine, prayer. How does it move to this category of really becoming effective? And I'm going to give you three factors that will increase the effectiveness of your prayer. I have no doubt I've put these things in place in my life. I've seen God move in an amazing way. Here's number one. The first factor that you need, it's essential for effective prayer, is you need faith. You've got to engage your mind and your heart with God, believing in what he's going to do. Now, I showed you this verse already in James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But the next verse, verse 6, look what he says. But when you ask, you must, fill the word in, you must, and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Double-minded is truly, the Greek word means they have two minds. It's like one mind is thinking this, God, I need your peace. I have anxiety. Give me peace. And your other mind is like, well, you're never going to get it. One mind says, God, I need guidance and information. The other mind says, well, you're never going to get that. God's not going to speak to you. God's not going to help you. It's double-minded thinking. And you've got to come together with a single mind in prayer that says, God, I believe, I have faith in what you can do. And this is a difficult topic, I think, faith. Because really, there's the first faith for you is faith in God's word, that God's word is true. That Philippians 4:6, I know you haven't written an 18-page paper probably on those verses, but you've got to believe God's word, that you can actually come with anxiety and receive peace. You got to believe God's word that you can pray and receive wisdom and guidance. And it's really about believing God's word and believing that it's true. But also, some of you find yourself in this place about faith. Here's where you find yourself. Sometimes we have full faith in God, but no faith in ourselves. Is that where you are with this idea of faith? I believe God's word, Pastor Tom, for other people. I believe God's word. I believe Pastor Brad could go to God with an anxious heart and pray and receive God's peace, but I just don't believe I could. I'm too sinful, or I'm too much of a novice with prayer, or I'm not very good. Maybe you're thinking that. Just ask yourself this question. It's odd if you find faith in God's word, but have no faith in your own ability to experience what you're seeing. You see, here's the thing. You gotta have faith in who we are in Christ together, who we are in Christ. That God has forgiven you and that his forgiveness extends over you. That the promises in God's word apply to you. Do you believe that? That God's promises apply directly to you and your life. They're not just for some people. They're for all of us. Faith that goes beyond our personal experience. Maybe you tried this. You know, I have years of my life as a child going with anxiety to God and never experiencing God's peace. And I made this calculation that, you know what? It's just not my personal experience that I received peace from God until I grew up. I walked away from God. I came back to God as an adult. And I began to pray and sense God's presence and sense God's hand. I mean, the first time I ever prayed and saw a miracle, I was blown away. I had no personal experience with that until I saw it. You see, you've got to have faith no matter what your personal experience is. You've got to have faith in God's word. Amen. Faith in who you are in Christ. You can take that step out and say, you know what? I believe not just that it could happen, I believe that it will happen. That I can receive peace for my anxiety. That God can guide me with my life. You know, that faith, it actually adds a dynamic you may not have thought about. When you pray with faith, you pray with intensity, but you pray for a much longer time because you know it's going to happen. When I go to prayer for God's peace, I know I'm going to receive it. I don't give up quickly. I don't give it a 30-second effort. I pray and I pray and I pray until I persevere into God's peace. That's what faith adds. It adds perseverance in prayer. Billy Graham says this about prayer.
Prayer is more than a wish. It's the voice of faith directed to God. Is that your prayer? Is your prayer more like a, God, if you want to, God, if you could, God, if I'm not bugging you, God, would you? Do you pray with a voice of faith? Father God, I pray. You got to pray with faith if you want to see your prayers become more and more effective. Amen? How about this one, number two? You got to pray with focus, with the correct focus, with the right focus to your prayer. I don't mean don't be distracted in prayer. When I say focus, I mean this. When you go to prayer, here's the focus you should give. The focus of your prayer should begin with authentically sharing your heart with God. That's where you begin. You can read any psalm and you can see this pattern. You go to God and you open your heart. God, I'm disappointed. God, I'm upset. You can even tell God, God, I'm angry. I'm angry with so-and-so, or I'm angry with you. You can be honest. Open your heart to God in prayer. But at the same time, that focus needs to shift, needs to eventually shift to thankfulness for what God has already done and thankfulness for what God is about to do. Do you see that? It begins, like any psalm, with you opening your heart to truly express where you are. But then the focus shifts to thankfulness. Tom, why would you say thankfulness in prayer? Well, here's why. Philippians 4:6 says, by prayer petition, you guys say it, with present your request to God. Or Colossians 4:2, we just studied this a few weeks ago. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and, or Paul says to us here in 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge you, you have no idea how strong it is. I urge you, he says, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and, say it, and thanksgiving be made for all the people. Here's the focus of effective prayer. It begins by honestly sharing my heart. But after I share my heart, I change to thanking God for what he's done through Christ on the cross and what he's going to do in my situation. Let me give you an example of this. This is a man named George Mueller. Who here knows George, that name, George Mueller? Ever heard of George Mueller before? George Mueller was a young German Christian, went to England to be educated to become a pastor, and he did. He succeeded. As a young man, George Mueller began pastoring a church, and in the year 1836, he had a service somewhat like this service we're having right now, and the church service ended like this service, I promise, will eventually end. Church service ended, and people left the service, except four children, four girls, didn't leave. They just stayed there. Imagine that. Four kids. Imagine if I went back today, and I'm like, Pastor Gary, we still got these four kids. He's like, I don't know what to do. These four girls were still there. He said to them, why are you here, girls? We'll go home. And they said, we don't have a home. We have nowhere to go. Our parents died. We have no home. We have no food. We have nothing. And George Mueller said, God moved on his heart, and he began an orphanage. The orphanage that he began started with 30 girls, those four girls and then several others. He began with 30 girls. He rented a new house, but here was the problem. Those girls were loud and noisy, and all the neighbors complained. So George Mueller, in faith, went out and purchased a much larger place for orphans and eventually had these buildings set aside for orphans that he cared for in that way. But go back to when he had those 30 orphans, those 30 girls. They woke up one morning, and here was the reality. They had no money, and they had no food. And he had 30 girls in his home and his wife to feed. And they came to him, and they said, we have no food, and we have no money. What should we do? Imagine that. You know, I've been in an orphanage in Africa where they didn't have food to feed the children. It's a pretty rough place to be. George Mueller said, set the table, and everyone sit in your places. They set this long table for 30, you know, girls to sit at, and maybe two or three tables, and they all sit down. They're all ready for breakfast. They got plates, and they've got cups, and they're sitting there, and there's just no food. So George Mueller, he folds his hands, and they all fold their hands, and he bows his head, and this is what happens. One of the girls later reports this. Mueller prayed, dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat. Immediately, they heard a knock at the door, and when they opened it, there stood the local baker. Mr. Mueller, he said, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow, I felt you had no bread for breakfast, so I got up at 2 o'clock and baked fresh bread. Here it is. Mueller thanked God and praised him, but hold on, there's more. Soon, a second knock came at the door. It was the milkman. His cart was broken down in front of the orphanage, and he said he would like to give the children the milk so he could empty the cart and repair it. What did George Mueller do? He said, sit down. There's no food, there's no money, but we're going to thank God first. First, we're going to thank God for what God is going to do. We're going to come to God with thankfulness no matter what. Let me tell you one more thing about George Mueller. Eventually, George Mueller would care for 2,000 orphans at a time. Now, listen to what I'm saying. He had 2,000 orphans under his care at a time, and every orphan who grew and graduated, every boy and every girl, he found a job for them after they left the orphanage. He provided for all their needs, food, clothing, everything. And at one point, he was also sending 10,000 pounds, over $20,000 a month, to missionaries around the world. Here's the key to George Mueller. He never once asked for money. He simply prayed with faith and thanksgiving. Imagine that. Imagine if I came to your house, I knocked at your door. Who's out there? Oh, it's Pastor Tom. And I walk in sober-faced. I sit down with you and your husband or your wife or whatever, and I say, listen, I've got a job for you. I want you, what if I said to you, I want you to run an orphanage for 2,000 students, 2,000 children, and I want you to give $20,000 a month to missions. But here's the key, you can't ask for money. All you can do is pray. How would that affect you? What an amazing man of prayer and of faith with thanksgiving is George Mueller, amen? Last thing. Number one, we pray with faith. Number two, we pray with the right focus, authentically sharing our heart, but eventually thanking God for what he's done and what he's going to do. And number three, the last thing is frequency. And what I mean by frequency is how often you pray, how often you go to prayer, how often you're in prayer. The Bible says we are to pray continually. Think about that. When the words of prayer are not on your lip, the attitude of prayer is on your heart. You're praying continually. You're continually reaching out to God. Paul says this as well. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayer. Jesus tells a story about a widow. And this widow wants justice. But the judge doesn't care about God or men. And the widow comes day and night and begs for justice. Until finally that corrupt judge says, you know what? I'm just going to give you what you want because you keep coming no matter what. And then Jesus says this about prayer. Look what Jesus says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? We're not supposed to go to God just simply at the moment of our need, or once a month we'll pray, or we hold back in prayer until we absolutely have to pray. Don't let that be you. There's a story about two men and about the same time frame as the Titanic. They were crossing the Atlantic and their ship sank. Many on their ship died, but these two men, they held onto a board and they're floating in the Atlantic Ocean. One said to the other, wow, it looks like this is the end for us. Looks like we're going to die. I guess we better repent and make things right with God. So he began to repent and confess his sins. The man with him on the same board looked out and said, whoa, stop, stop. I see a ship on the horizon. Don't repent yet. You got more time. Is that how you approach prayer? Well, I'm not going to pray unless I have to. Oh, man, I hope I don't have to pray today. That's not the frequency of prayer. Okay, I got no other option. God, I guess I'll come pray. No, that's not how we pray. We pray continually. We're approaching God. We're coming to God continually in prayer. Let me tell you a very personal story from my life. Several years ago, I don't know when it was, many years ago, I was a youth pastor here at Spring Hills, and there's another youth pastor in the county, and I met him once a week for coffee and for encouragement and discussion. It's a good thing to do, and we always met at Village Coffee in Granville. So one day, I mean, we met every single week at the same time, but one day I go down to meet him, and he wasn't there. So I got my cell phone out, and I called him or texted him or whatever I did with him, and he answered it, and he said, oh, man, this is really embarrassing. I'm actually at a different coffee shop with a different youth pastor doing the same thing we do. I'm so sorry. I'm like, man, you're so unreliable. You know, that was my thought to him. But I thought, you know, here I am having coffee at Village Coffee, and I'm right here. Now, already that day, I'd had a prayer time already. This is about 10 o'clock. So I walked out of Village Coffee. I sat down in one of those little tables right there in front. Who knows what I'm talking about? And I opened my prayer journal for a second time that day, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to get some bonus prayer time, some extra prayer. And I wrote this down on my prayer journal. I wrote this line down. I began my prayer, and I said this to God. God, I give my life to you. But immediately when I wrote that down, I just felt I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit immediately. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me. He said this, yes, but will you live with me? Will you take me with you wherever you go? Will you stay in touch through prayer everywhere? I've got this written down in my journal. You can see what I wrote and what I heard back from God. I was so disoriented by that response from God that I began praying again. And I wrote this down. I surrender to you. And immediately, I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit say to me, yes, but will you stay with me? You see, I would often begin my day with God and then run four or five steps ahead of God, whatever I was doing. He says, stay with me. Stay in prayer. Abide with me. Remain with me all day long. Are you with me on this? How often should I pray? Pray continually. Walk through your life with God. Live with him. Stay with him all day. Let me conclude these thoughts on prayer. The result of our prayer rests with God. Don't hear me say anything but that. I'm not saying you can force God's hand or force God to make something happen. The result of our prayer rests with God. And this is certainly a possibility. You may pray with perfect faith, correct focus, and the right frequency and still not receive the answer that you seek in prayer. It may not be God's will. And if it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. Or maybe it's not God's timing. If it's not God's timing, it's not going to happen. If you're in that situation right now where you're praying and you know the faith is there and you know the focus is there and you know the frequency feels right to you, what do you do? Trust and keep praying. Amen? Trust and keep praying. But here's what I want you to do. I want to take a step today towards effective prayer. A step towards effective prayer by doing this. Pray and expect great things. Could you do that? No checklist prayer, no mindless prayer, no routine prayers. Pray and expect great things. Here, bow your head with me if you would. I said before, I think this might be the most important message that I've preached so far this year in 2016, and I hope you receive that because this is essential that you have effective prayer. That you can go to God and have your anxiety turn to peace. And you can go to God and get guidance and information. You can go to God and literally see miracles happen. But it takes faith. It takes that focus on thanksgiving, and it takes the frequency of continual prayer. But I assure you, when you take those steps, you're going to see your prayer become continually more and more effective. Can you do this? One question. Can you pray and expect great things? Can you do that? Can you take that step today? In fact, I want to invite you anywhere in this room. Just stay in your seat and pray where you are, or walk up to the altar and go on your knees, or slip on your knees by your row, wherever you want to be. I want to invite you right now to begin to pray. And as you pray, expect great things. Expect God's peace. Expect God's guidance. Expect that miracle that you know needs to happen. Could you pray and expect great things? Father, we come to you right now, reminding ourselves of who you are. That to have effective prayer, God, we need faith in your word and in your character of who you are. And Father, we also need faith of who we are in Christ, that we're your children, your sons and daughters. And then we come to you, you're not going to give us a snake or a rock. You're going to give good gifts to your children. Father, I pray everyone in this room could take a serious, hard look at prayer. And they could take this step to pray and expect great things in their life. Father, I praise you. I thank you. I give you this day. In your name we pray. Amen. So why not just come and pray? Why not come and pray and expect great things?
control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I see you move. I see your hand. I want to touch your heart.
Maybe you've been like me. There have been times in my life, like I was thinking this morning, that I've wondered, how come when that person prays, things seem to happen? When I pray, it doesn't happen that way. But what if there are things that will allow your prayers to be more effective? One of the books that has changed my prayer life, it's a book by John Eldridge called Moving Mountains. And in it, he uses this illustration. He says that if you're going to hammer a nail, you don't use a banana. That wouldn't be very effective, would it? But he talks about you'd use a hammer. And there are essential things that can allow your prayer life to be more effective. And Tom has talked about those today. Pray with faith, pray with focus, pray with frequency. And you can then expect God to do great things through as you partner with him. You know, today maybe you're here and you'd like somebody to pray with you. You know, we have, a prayer room in the back. Stop by there after the service. Someone from our healing prayer team would love to pray with you. Or maybe you'd like to talk to somebody just about having faith in Jesus Christ. They can talk with you about that as well. You know, just a couple of things to mention. Again, there's some tables in the back. One of those is an event that is coming up in October. It's a special needs event. And we need 20 to 30 volunteers to help out with that, with things like setup and cleanup, registration, games, those kinds of things. So please check that table out, sign up, volunteer. And over here to my right, there's a banner. It's the Love and Respect Conference, the Parenting Conference. And that's a live event coming up in November. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't registered for that, do that, because we're getting ready to increase our publicity to our community. So more and more people are going to register. So make sure you do that. And so, if you're new here today, we just want to say we are so glad you're here. The information desk is in the back. Stop by there. We have a gift for you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you are a good father and you care so much for us and you want to partner with us. And so we want to choose to partner with you. We want to choose to seek you, to pray to you, God, to seek your guidance, to seek you. And sometimes we need our emotions changed, all these things. We need you, Father. We need you to partner with us. We need you to change our prayer life. And so, God, as we go forward this week, help us to pray with faith, with focus, and frequency, and expect you to do great things through us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Enjoy your day.